Welcome back, baby. Welcome back. You ever notice you go to church, you ever notice sometimes somebody will start to fall asleep at church? And people think it's funny. It's not. It's wonderful. We call it the Holy Ghost sleeps. But I want you to remember that sometimes you get so peaceful. As she was playing, what a friend we have. Sometimes you say, you know, you just kind of drift off and you don't even know it to that place, that peaceful place. I want you to remember that. Just remember that thought. Let's stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. Pray together to who? Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. You know, you say in that prayer, you don't say it right. You don't say it. You're talking to God. When you talk to your Father, when you're asking, you didn't go to Him and have this speech that you had to say perfectly before Dad would listen. So you're talking to God with that prayer. People say, you said it wrong. You added a word. So I'm talking to my Father. He knows if I add a word that somebody else doesn't say amen, that God is listening to my heart. You know, if I say a word wrong, God says, just talk to me. Amen. That's what Jesus was telling us. Hallelujah. Hey, we're at church. We're supposed to be solemn, and God wants you to be serious. And we're serious about God. Amen. We're serious about joy from who? God. Amen. Love from who? God. To change your life today. Read with me. Responsive reading, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Amen. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Amen. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than more, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Psalm 19. David wrote that. He understood. He wrote these for us because he was there. If you, like last week, if you were here and you were telling people about it, see, they're listening to you and you're all excited about what we did and what we're going to share today. See, but this was David when he was writing this. He was excited about God. He loved God. His compassion, his understanding was to share it with you today. Amen. Keeping your servants are warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. How many want great reward? Nobody, just me? I do. Got to be careful how much you ask for. But, you know, God, there's no ending to God's rewards. Everybody know that? We all try and find ways. This is a testimony. We all find to be quiet in our minds, to calm our spirits. It's like when we were children. Anybody remember when you were kids? Can you go back and remember that? Spending time with your mom and dad alone. Maybe two brothers or two sisters. Just talking and listening. Discussing life or love. Dreams of tomorrow about fishing or maybe a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend. Anybody remember bedtime stories? And anybody have anybody that said, read me a bedtime story? I didn't have that. That's one thing we didn't have in our house. But you see it all the time. Say, will you read me a story? Why would you read them a story? What was the purpose? To make them what? Fall asleep. Amen. It calmed their spirit. Amen. It calmed their mind. And what did they do? They fell asleep. That was the whole part of the story. Remember? And I said, I've never had that or needed that, maybe. But what was the main intent for the stories? That you fall asleep peacefully and quietly. Talking or reading, all of a sudden you realize no one is listening. You ever had that conversation when you're with your brother or your sister, or your father's talking to you or your mother, and then all of a sudden you realize the person you're talking to fell asleep? Because whatever you were saying, not that they were bored, but what you were talking about sort of was calming, and they were listening, and then they fell asleep. Are you with me? And I say, have we grown up so long that we forgot that? Or we forgot to share that with our children and our grandchildren. Stories, bedtime stories. That sounds kiddish, but it's not. It's wonderful. And sisters talking, having bedtime conversation, and the other one all of a sudden falling asleep. They're listening, amen. Their heart was to listen, but their peacefulness fell over them, and they fell asleep. Amen. And our grandchildren. Our Father is where? Our Father. This book, and Marilyn, how did you know to put this on the cover today? Truly, how did you know? Amen. From God. This book is a gift to us. Amen. To study. There's story after story in this book. There's history. People like history. Amen. The creation of the world. You can read that. The adventures. All the adventures in this book. They're animals. People like animals. There's a lot of animals in the Bible. Stories about animals. Amen. Love. Love lessons. Personal time with Jesus. There's compassion in this book. Tenderness. Giving you. Who? Giving who? Amen. A lifetime, listen, a lifetime of dreams to dream and believe in this book. Amen. Sergio, in this book, you must begin the journey. Let me tell you, there's no cost. There's no cost. You don't have to send $29.95 a month. You don't have to give. All you have to do is give up your time, give up your spirit to open this book up and do what? Read a little. Not one story. You don't read this book from front to back. And I begged somebody a couple of years ago, please don't. See, I want to read the Bible front to back. I said, it's not a book like that. It's not Gone with the Wind. There's so many stories in the book. And so many wonderful stories that you don't read it front to back. Amen? But in this book, there's life-changing, miracle-giving book that keeps on giving and giving. Amen? You must begin the journey. Not to be read from front to back. Amen. Explore it. You need to explore it, Bill. You need to look through it. Amen. You need to study it a little bit. Find it. Start with the creation. If you want to know where to start sometimes, start with the creation again. Read it over again. Listen to how God created what we have. Amen. You got Adam and Eve to read about. You can read about Noah, how God brought the animals to Noah. You can read about Jonah, a beautiful story, an adventure. David, there's so many stories that David has. Solomon, John, Peter, the letters written in red. Y'all know what those letters are written in red. Those are Jesus. Your Father in heaven wrote those words for you to read. Amen? They're so full of compassion. You read about the Sermon on the Mount. What does it say? Blessed are. Blessed are. Blessed are. Amen? That means you're in a place of favor with who? As you read those words. Now, I can't make you try. But we all do things to try to sleep at night, amen? And I'm not just talking to one person. Truly, I'm talking to anybody here ever have a night where you can't sleep? So we're all in the same boat, amen? We're all in that boat, so it's not like anything you've ever had. And what do? You go to the doctor and you tell him, I can't, and the God bless the doctor, he gives you some medicine, amen, that helps you sleep. Sometimes. But that medicine may do something else during the day. You don't know. But you trust him, amen? You trust him. And then he'll say to you, I'm going to change your... Anybody have... ever doctor have you change your medicine? Anybody ever say to the doctor, I'm going to change your medicine? And what do? You take it. Do you know what it's going to do? No. But you trust him, amen? You trust him. What you should do, amen? By the way, you heard your pastor say, you should do that. But I'm saying that he's giving you something to help you do something. You don't even know what it is he's giving you, but you trust him. Amen? Maybe you can try one more thing. When you can't sleep at night, take this book out. We got these books in church. I asked this congregation, I asked Chuck and Marilyn to get this Bible because I find this Bible the easiest to read, the easiest to understand. There's all sorts of notes teaching you, explaining. You read something you don't understand, there's notes explaining it, and there's places to take you to other places. If you're like adventure, well, your adventure is going other places and finding what the Word says. Amen, Gary? That's what you do at Bible study now. And I tell you that this Bible... has got story after story, history and adventures for you to look at, you know, with Jonah. And you start reading about David or Daniel. And you open up, and if you find something that's kind of doesn't touch you, guess what you're supposed to do, Sergio? Turn to another page. Open up. Maybe you'll read something from Matthew. Maybe you'll read the letters in red where Jesus is talking. Maybe a parable that he's doing. And you say, you know, I can't sleep. I'm gonna take this book, and I'm going to listen to Pastor. I'm going to open up. I'm going to start looking. I want to find an adventure. I want to find a story. And the next thing you know, you're sitting on the couch. You're sitting in bed. And the next thing you know, the glasses are off your face. And you're what? Sleeping. Amen? So I just say, you try to find ways to rest. Amen? But you forget when you were a child, what made you give that rest? Just having quiet conversation with your brother, your sister, maybe your mom, maybe your dad, having quiet conversation. Maybe those bedtime stories. You read your grandchildren bedtime stories, and they think you might be crazy. But I bet the more you start, the more you're going to say, hey, Nana, you going to read me another bedtime story? Baji, I'm sad. I'm the Nana. See, I can't make you do it, but I tell you that you go somewhere else and somebody gives you something you don't even know what it is. And they said, this will help you sleep. And I pray to God that it does. But I tell you that if you give God some time and trust and take this Bible, not is this the best Bible in the world? I'm not saying that. Is this one of the easiest Bibles to understand? I'm telling you for sure it is. I spent 25 years looking for the Word of God the way I need to read it, that it doesn't say things so watered out that it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't say words so long and with thee's and thy's and thou's that I can't read it. But I'm telling you that if you try, and you have those nights, we all have those nights, we're all together, not being able to sleep at night is not an uncommon situation. And will it work every single time? Of course it won't. But what it will do is get your mind off the things, whatever you're thinking about. And if you're just sitting there thinking, I can't sleep, guess what you're not going to do? Sleep. So you first got to get your mind off of the fact that you can't do something you want to do. So you start reading. And the next thing you know, you're getting tired. But I'm telling you, and I know my God, and I'm telling you, and this is the testimony. I know that he'll find you. Dominic, he'll find your heart. He'll find you in something in here that you can't stop reading. He'll find a story about Jonah. He said, oh, I read it before. Oh, let me read it again. And you'll find, God will show you something different that you didn't see the first time. Because now you're looking. See, now you're searching, see? And all of a sudden you'll start reading and say, oh, I didn't know this. And you'll just fall asleep. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, with all the things the world has for us and all the things we need and we lean on, you have everything for us. Our health, our peace, to remove anxiety, to remove stress, knowing that you're with us, the promises of amen and amen to what we ask you for, your help, your guidance, that the battle isn't ours, it's yours. Why we worry when we see all the things you've done for us, Lord, yet we still struggle, yet we still fight, yet we still have this distress in our bodies. But I know, Lord, if they turn to you even more than they thought yesterday, that you will show them new things. You will give them extra peace. You will show them new joys. You will open their eyes up to things they didn't see before, because this book is the living word. This book is alive. Alive. You read that story over again, and I promise you, he'll show you something else you didn't see the first time, because now you're looking. Now you're reading and you want to know. And he said, good, now I can show him something else. I can show him because he'll understand. And the more you start to read in this book, the more you start to search for an adventure, for another journey, the more you search, then the more he can show you. And the more he shows you, the more you want to learn. And that peace will come over you. Maybe whatever time you go to bed, take it with you. Turn everything else off. Turn God on for a little while. Just look through it. Read some stories. Read something nice. Read from Matthew. Maybe read from Paul. Read, but just God will lead you I can't tell you where to go because that's God's job. I can lead you to this water. I can lead you to this river of goodness. And then God will lead you the rest of the way. The next step will be between you and God. He will show you what you need to find in here. And then you'll be searching for everything that's in here. That will change your life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life. It'll change your friend's life. And we will continue to build that nation from the ground up with God in our lives. I promise you, He won't fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Grant us what? Grant us what? Peace. When you have peace, guess what you do? You sleep. Amen. Do you see? Amen. God is good. Amen. Give Him praise, church. Let it ring out. We missed you last week, so you wouldn't recognize these people. They were amen in everything. Hallelujah. They're a little laid back today, though. I'm going to work on them. Marilyn, I'm telling you, if you don't think you're connected to God in the ministry, if you ought to take, you ought to know when you leave here that you and God got something going. You're listening and he's telling you. So that means God is with you. I mean, I'm telling you. How can you believe this book? What book? This book. Amen. It's just a book written by men. Amen. How many times have you heard that? Oh, men wrote that book. Nothing in it for me. But isn't it interesting that it's not written by one man, Marty? By many men. Hundreds of years, thousands of years separated, thousands of miles separated, John. Yet it's in this book without one contradiction. Can I get an amen? In this book, praise the Lord. I'm excited. Hope, strength, wisdom to live a prosperous, healthy life. Guidance from great men and women. Some who fell, some who sinned once and had today, just like some of those people in this Bible, had no faith at all. Amen? Say, how can they be in the Bible? Because the lesson is in what they learned. Are you with me? They had no faith at all. Today's unbelievers, they have nothing. Trust me. Today's unbelievers have nothing to add new to share. Amen. Those who don't believe in God, even if the God of the Bible, they don't believe in any God, they have nothing new to give you. Amen. They have nothing to share. They have nothing that will add to your life. Amen. They will tell you how they got what they got, how they didn't have. They'll give you their opinions. Amen. But they will have nothing to give you that'll go right to your heart and your spirit. Amen. Not one word of unbelief has ever helped anybody in their life or their home. Amen. There is not one surprise in their teachings and their preachings. And we all know that unbelievers do a lot of preaching. Amen. Because there's a religion called atheism. Amen. The religion of what? Unbelief. And there's a lot of people out there preaching the religion of unbelief. Amen. And there's nothing new to that. Hallelujah. Not one surprise in their preaching. Not one. Then at the end of their lives, there's what? The end. That's what they got. And you say, how could God forsake them? God never forsake them, amen. They said they didn't need God. They didn't want a God. God gave them exactly what they asked for, amen. If at the 1 minute before they pass on, they say, Lord, forgive me, guess what they have? Forgiveness and compassion from who? From Jesus. But I tell you, as far as unbelievers are concerned, at the end is the... Hallelujah. Now in this book, what book? See, you tell Sergio in this book, oh, it was written by men. I said, yeah, well, yeah, it was men. But men a lot smarter and a lot wealthier than me. In this book, there are kings. Say that with me. Kings in this book. Rulers. And they were unbelievers. Amen? Unbelievers. Who met God along the way. I love that. God's people who shared the word. And I wrote this. Then kicking and screaming through the lessons and trials found that the kingdom they professed to rule. Hallelujah. Actually, and let me read that again, because unbelievers found that the kingdom they were actually trying to rule when they turned to God actually was blessed. Amen. Blessed. And who got blessed? The people got blessed. Are you with me? There was great success. How much success? When looking to God of the Bible for their guidance, people were treated fairly and blessings fell on all. So I have in this book kings telling me about God. And now I'm going to read for you in the book of Daniel. In this Bible, this book, Kings, Nebuchadnezzar says this, Daniel 4:19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry about that. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, it's Daniel 4:34. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, who? Good. Lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom. Listen to what he's saying. This is a king who was an unbeliever that's in the book of God. Listen. He said, at the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Was what? Added. He's saying that he turned back to God, and things were what? Added to him. And now he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. King Nebuchadnezzar was like some of our friends, unbelievers. So you say the book was written by men? I say, yeah, some of those men were unbelievers. Say, how can that be? I said, because they were unbelievers until God got a hold of them. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar, right there. There's his words to who? To you. And how many know that Nebuchadnezzar really lived because they found his kingdom? They find things from that time, Sergio. So there's no argument about King Nebuchadnezzar. And those are his words to who? Us. For about what? About God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I have in this book. What book? This book. A doctor. A doctor in this, Chuck. In this book. A physician. A man who understood science and medicine, who was trained to keep good records. To verify not just for others, but also for himself, Dale. This doctor was important that everything that he wrote down and everything he did was documented and correct. He was trained to keep good records, to verify not just for others, but also for himself. A man like you and me. Dates and details. He writes about the virgin birth. Amen. He writes about Jesus being born. He writes one thing, Dominic, that almost proves that I wrote down that in Luke 3:23, he writes the genealogy. I mean, you know how tedious that must have been. He writes the genealogy of Jesus and is for everybody before. I mean, he made a point to tell us things that, I mean, you start to read that and you say, oh, I can't read that. You imagine how he felt trying to write it for us, but it was important to him to tell us. A man in the Bible, imagine that. It was important for him to tell us about what book. Thank you. In insomuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Luke says, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, he's telling Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Hallelujah. So he's telling Second Congregational today on this beautiful Sunday, May 22nd, as you sit here, he is saying to you, Second Congregational, that you may know the certainty of those things which you were been instructed. So now I got a doctor telling me, somebody smarter than me, Dave, I admit it, he's smarter than me. A doctor. Well, the book was written by men, certainly. It's also written by women. Amen. There's women in that Bible who were very powerful women. Just so you know, ladies, I want you to know. Praise the Lord. George, are fishermen in the Bible. Guys like you and me, fishermen, who left their homes to follow God and were blessed beyond measure. They were successful businessmen as fishermen. There was a tax collector, he's in the Bible, another unbeliever who found God and gave up what he had and got more in return than he ever thought, amen? So when the people say, what's in there for me? They say, there's everything in that book for you. And it's not written by one man, it's written by many men, amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. Like the power we felt last week, this is our time and needs no interpretation or explanation. It's real. It's today. It's what? It's our time. Listen, God is here. God is with us. I believe that. 10 years from now, men and women might be trying to explain what we did today, Chuck. They might be somewhere across the street pointing at the church. Oh, you should have been there. It's so good. It changed my life. And other people say, yeah, I know. And no, you don't understand that God really works. You see, that's what we're doing today. That's your job today. That 10 years from now, people look at this church and say, they changed my life, my family's life, and look at how Derby is today because of that church. I'm standing on faith. I'm sorry. That's what he's saying. Our victory and their victories will be in how high we build this temple. No matter how high we get this, how filled we get this with people who love him. Not with just numbers. We don't want numbers. We want people who love him and are hungry for him. Amen. And how high we build this light, Deacon Bill, and how bright it is will be our future. How this church looks. Amen. This temple. Hallelujah. How we brought light to Derby and God and his word. And I tell you this, and this is just, we could discuss, but God has not called us to build a school. He didn't call us to build he called us to build a house for him. Amen? A temple for him where we can teach his word. Amen? The minute we start diverting, the minute we start growing and be careful growing, and we want to build a school, we want to do this, we start building a business. Amen? And then when we build a business, what happens? The world starts to enter. Amen? And then there's people who want to do this, and want to, all of a sudden there's not enough money for that, and there's not enough. See, God doesn't want us to worry about any of that. If he wants us to have a school, he'll send us a school. Amen. If he wants us to build something, he will tell us to do it, and we will do it. But right now, he wants us to build a temple for him, as bright as can be, and it's on his word. And we need to tell other people. Amen. So 10 years from now, when those people are sitting on the green saying, that church over there saved this town. That church over there helped Derby get on its feet again, because that church over there built people up in the name of the Lord. They built people up to give them hope, and those people left there with hope, and they started telling their grandchildren, and their grandchildren had hope, saying, that pastor's crazy. I know that's what they're saying back there. Well, I am a little crazy, but I'm crazy for God. And I want you to have all the dreams you have, to be the doctor you want to be, or the teacher, or the physician, or the astronaut. Or I don't know your dream, but God knows your dream. And he said, I want you to find them. So that you, when you know God, God's like, he's your right hand. You go into school, he's going to be right there with you. And you sit there and you don't like the teacher, and maybe the teacher's rough on you. You say, God, help me find favor with this teacher. And you just sit back and you smile and you do your work. And all of a sudden you find favor with this teacher because they see in you kindness and compassion. And just like anybody else, teachers want to be around students who are compassionate. You see, so God lifts us all up. Today's Elaine's birthday. I'm not going to mention it a few more times. But this is her day to celebrate her birth. And we celebrate that because we love her and because we're blessed to have her as our part of our family. Amen. But see, God wants all of us to be lifted up. Every day is a birthday with God. Every day is a new day to discover what you discover. There might be gold out there on that green, but we'll never know it unless we dig for it. Amen. There's gold in this church, Sergio. You just got to dig for it, and you're digging for it. I just want you to have more confidence when you put the fork in the ground that gold's coming out. Amen. I want you to know when you leave here, I got to do more for God, because God is going to do more for me. And if God does more for me, then other people will be blessed, and there'll be more and good success. Amen. This church is for your strength to live from victory to victory through the battles of life today. Today. So 10 years from now, you want the people of Derby to know why good things are happening. They can look at this white church on Elizabeth Street and say, God in that church saved this town. Amen. Give God praise and glory. We went to Boston with Fred and Nancy on Monday. I want to thank them for an absolutely amazing day. It was so beautiful and got to see things. And I felt a little tight in my muscles, and I took some ibuprofen. I take medicine. I take aspirin when I get a headache. Take stuff. So when people prescribe to you something that you're going to, please don't ever stop taking it. Just be aware that you don't understand everything that's in there, and ask maybe the pharmacist, you know, hey, can I combine these? You do your own homework, because you know you trust, and sometimes people make mistakes, or they don't know what like in school. And you know, when we were in school, we had one class. Kids go to all sorts of, you know, every class. They have four or five different classes a day, right? And then this teacher gives them homework, this teacher gives them homework, and this teacher gives them homework, and the kid goes home and he's got 2 hours worth of homework because the teachers don't know what the other teacher's giving them. And it's hard on children. It's the same way with doctors. They want to help you, but maybe they don't know what another doctor. And I'm just saying that to tell you that this book is medicine also. It's got no after effects. None. It's just purely God's word. And there's so many things in here that will help you to get through anxiety, stress, and worry. It will take your mind off of what you're thinking about. So you start to read this, you'll either fall asleep or you'll hunger for more, and you won't be able to put it down. You'll look up and it's 4 o'clock, and you won't realize it's 4 o'clock in the morning because you've been reading all night, enjoying yourself. Amen. This medicine is for you, for all of us. And we have these Bibles here. Don't go without this medicine. Amen. Give God a try. Give Him praise. Brenda, people in Boston got nothing. I'm muted. Driving crazy in Boston. Oh, my goodness. Got in that tunnel doing 70. There were 3 lanes of people doing 70, and everybody's going from one lane to the other. And Fred says, look for the exit. I don't even know where we are. But praise God, we're here today. Let's get serious for just 1 minute, because I want to leave you with some peace. We're going to do according to the word of God. We're going to remember Jesus. The remembrance, this little service that we do here, is simply for all of us to remember what Jesus did for us and why we have the right to go to the throne room and why we are accepted in the family, all the beautiful, wonderful, miracle things that He did for us with this. So as we do this morning, we do this in remembrance of Jesus as He took the bread, blessed, and broke it, saying, this is my body being torn for you. He said to eat and do this in remembrance of Him. I'll give you some time to just reflect. A simple remembrance. Just thanking Him for what He did and remembering what He did for us is all He asks, in Jesus' name. You thank Him for all the miracles He did for you this week, and He did them all because you're here today. So everything He did was a miracle to get you through all week. You can ask Him to forgive you for any of your iniquities right now. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for things I might have done or said, Lord, that were against you. Cleanse me, Lord, as I receive. As He took the wine and poured it into a cup, saying, it's my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this in remembrance of Jesus. Thank him for all the miracles he did for you this week. He knows every prayer you have.